Brought to you by naturalhealer.com.au. All rights reserved.
Thank you so much for taking the time to join me. Today I'm going to do my best to tie in a couple of questions that I got asked on my Facebook page and put them together in a way that will hopefully be helpful and effective for you. Firstly, a lovely lady named Sandrine asked me, how would I work on getting rid of a lot of anger? That's a really great question, and one that I actually personally have experience with. Whenever we have a lot of anger within ourselves and we keep it within, it's usually because we feel that there's some level of injustice that's been done, whether that you, if you were a participant in the issue, whether you're completely innocent of it, whether you contributed to it, whether it's towards yourself or towards another person, usually we hold on to anger because there's something that just doesn't sit right in our core. It just didn't feel right. So that way we keep replaying the issue over and over and over again, and that anger just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Now, if I was to ask you to take a candle that's lit and hold on to that candle and watch the flame as it goes down, and you continue to watch the flame and it gets lower and lower and lower and lower, and eventually that wax is going all over your hand and it's burning you, that flame ends up actually burning you, and you might actually end up getting a blister and sore, and perhaps there's an infection. To use that analogy, I've done that because that's effectively what anger is doing for you. You're holding on to that anger and just watching it as it continues to burn down and basically blister and fester and get worse and worse. There's no benefit of holding that candle. You should just put it down, or better yet, blow it out. Now, for those of you who follow my blog, whether it's on YouTube or iTunes, you'll actually recognize this theme that I have, which is all about recognizing, feeling, and then letting go. That same process goes with getting rid of anger. And let me actually clarify that. We're not going to ever get rid of anger. That's like trying to get rid of a rainy day or get rid of bad weather. Those emotions are always going to be sort of in your store of emotions that you can pull on. The biggest thing and the most important thing is about being able to feel the anger and then let it go. Just like you would watch the weather, the storm, the rainy day as it continues. You don't get angry at it because eventually you know it will pass on. And that's the same thing with those emotions, in particular anger or any of those negative emotions that you may be experiencing. So the first step in this sort of three-step process is just about recognizing that you're angry, or the awareness. That's probably the easiest component. Whether you're angry with yourself or you're angry with somebody else, just recognizing the fact that you're experiencing that anger is really key to this process. The next step, which is integral, is about feeling the emotion. And when I say feeling it, I don't mean dwelling on the emotion. And I also don't mean doing it in a destructive way. When we feel that emotion, that anger well up, what we want to do is transmute that energy and use it in a really constructive manner. So go for a walk, or perhaps a run, or perhaps put some rock music on or whatever you like to listen to. Turn it up and sing it at the top of your lungs and get all of that energy out. And the last step is about letting go. The process of letting go usually happens when you ask yourself a question, when you start to feel that anger well up again. You need to ask yourself, like with that candle, is feeling this emotion going to do me any good? Is holding on to this emotion going to do me any good? How is it going to improve the situation? How is it going to benefit my health? How is it going to enhance my well-being? The chances are that the anger that you're feeling isn't going to be benefiting you in any way whatsoever. I mean, some people could probably say that it'll motivate you to do something about it. Well, that's actually step two. That's you feeling the emotion and then changing it into something constructive. The letting go part of it is about taking that feeling and then going, you know what, this is not healthy for me. I'm going to put it down or blow it out completely like that candle. So if and when, because the day will come, you'll feel that anger again, or the moment will come if it's not that long, you'll feel the anger again. Go through that process. Recognize, hey, I'm angry about this again. Feel that anger. It might be shorter the next time you feel it because you're recognizing it and going, okay, all right, I feel it. All right, I'm going to get up and walk around, and then think, is this doing me any good? Am I actually getting any benefit from this? How is this enhancing my life? How is this helping me? There's no easy switch to turn off your emotions. You're not a one-dimensional being living in a one-dimensional world. You working through the process over and over again, like when you first learned how to ride a bike, you didn't just get on it and ride it. You had to practice and practice. The same goes with working through emotions, negative emotions like anger or sadness or stress or anything like that, is recognize, feel, and let go. I hope those steps have helped you, Sandrine. They've helped me considerably over the years. So I look forward to seeing if you can give it a shot, and hopefully something that I said resonates with you and you'll be able to work through that anger quickly, safely, and in a constructive manner so you can blossom that sweet soul of yours. Now, the second part of this blog post is an answer to a question from a lovely lady named Christy, who asked me what a day in my life is like. What are the routines that keep me grounded? Firstly, what I'd like to do is make very clear that I am just like you. I feel the same range of emotions, everything from boredom to stress and everything in between. I experience life's ups and downs. I see problems around me. I recognize I have my own as well. And while I wouldn't necessarily want to go into too minute detail about my daily routine, which I'll talk about in a minute, the one thing that I find is ever present in my day is one of, I would call it humility, or at least having the mental space to think about others. That's what I feel really does keep me grounded. Now, that's not to say when I talk about humility that I don't have an ego or sometimes think I'm right when I'm not right, or even if I am right. It's just more around being able to consider the other person's perspective and not just my own. So it's not always easy to create and maintain that mental space between the real you, you know, the inside you, the one that's inside of this vessel that we're in on this earth, and the outside world, especially when you're in situations that have a lot of stress or pressure. I mean, you're moving like that, so you might not necessarily know what to do straight away and have that little buffer zone to think, calm, and then react before you do respond or react. However, that would be my number one grounding thing, is that I have a practice of trying to consider other people's situations before I do respond or react, remembering that everybody's situation is different, everybody's expectations and everyone's life is different. Knowing that means that my expectations change in every situation. So while I might engage in something, whether it's a person or a thing or an event, and I might have a set expectation of what I would like to happen, I am not connected to, my happiness is not connected to how that outcome is. So my expectations are sort of detached from the outcome. So if they're not met, they're just not met, and then I move on and I find another situation that may meet my expectation. One of the many lessons I've learned throughout life is that I can only control what's within me, what I actually experience. Every day that I wake up is a day that I go to school. And whether it's extremely small or really huge, I learn something new. And that perspective, starting my day with that attitude, I think really helps me maintain a balance in my life to be able to sort of weave through the experiences that can sometimes hit people head on. Okay, so I've rambled a bit about that, so I do apologize. I hope that does sort of answer some of your question. I do know that you asked Christy specifically about what my routine is like. So just quickly in a nutshell, I usually wake up at about 6:30 or thereabouts in the morning. When I wake up, I do go through a routine of gratitude. I verbally, out loud, thank the universe for my healthy body, for my abundant life, for my students, for all of the blessings that I receive. So I go through a whole routine of that. Then I usually go for a walk with my husband, Sean. And then when we come back, I will have something small to eat, whether or perhaps a fresh juice, or it might be some gluten-free toast. I do like to have a cup of coffee. And usually I have that with almond coconut milk, which is lovely. Lunchtime, I usually have a decent sized lunch. I'm vegan when I'm at home. I say that because when I go out, sometimes I'm vegetarian, which means that I do have some dairy products if I'm out, but I do try to maintain my vegan lifestyle. So at home, when I eat, it's usually a large volume of vegetables. I absolutely love corn products. They have really good different things to make things like tacos and burgers and stuff like that, even though I don't eat meat. And during my lunchtime break, I usually do a variety of stretching and some energizing routine, you know, just to kind of get myself pumped up again. I don't usually have dinner. I will usually have a cup of herbal tea, or if I do have something, it might be very small. And then I go through my lovely evening process, which is stretching, yoga, meditation, and self-healing. I do that every night. And if, of course, I have student attunements to do, I get to do those, which is absolutely beautiful. And then I usually end up in bed with a book. I absolutely love reading, so there's always a book at my bedside table. And then usually fast asleep sometime between 10:30 and 11 p.m. So that is a typical day in my life. And again, the reason I explained the whole thing before about humility and expectations is because that's probably the glue that keeps my day together. So I hope that answered your question, and I hope there was something helpful for everyone in this blog today. If you have any other questions, you're more than welcome to ask me. And I do hope that you all continue to shine your beautiful light. Big love to you, and namaste.